Metronome was so fucking loud there.
Metronome
goddamn.
Was real loud. Yeah, no, I have my Metro. Computer cranked.
Yeah, I could. When I walked in, I heard your whole shit.
Yeah, my whole kit and caboodle.
Mm-hmm. Your whole little box that you had making
my
pizza.
My little box.
Your little box.
Oh, you mean this little box?
Yes.
Oh, it's not connected. Oh my god, we got a doozy on this one.
We do. Oh man.
Is this the latest we've ever recorded?
No. I'm pretty
What's
sure
the latest
we've
ever recorded.
I think we went later that time that we recorded like 3 in a night.
Are you talking about the Late Night Delirium episode?
Mm-hmm.
Late Night Delirium was crazy. We mm-hmm. have a good bit in that one. I forget what it is though.
I don't remember. Because it's not the snail one, because I just titled that one after the snail.
By the way, did you steal that from Oni Plays?
The snail?
Yeah.
Not the exact situation.
Right, yeah,
but
yeah.
like the absurd hypothetical
yeah, for sure.
bit.
Well, yeah. they had a snail hypothetical on that, but it wasn't exactly our snail hypothetical.
Uh-huh.
Because I was like, that bit's so good, it's so funny, we should get someone to like... animate a video for it and then we'll like pass it around. And then I was listening to an Oni Plays Hypotheticals compilation. I was like, oh, okay.
We could still do that.
We could still do that, yeah.
Yeah. It's not like Oni Plays are the only people that do hypotheticals.
No, they're the only people asking hypothetical questions.
Oh, just in general?
I believe so. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Uh huh.
Wow. What would you do if Oni Plays when the next time you did a hypothetical, they appeared in front of you and beat the hell out of you, what would you do?
I'd stop asking.
You better find out.
I'd stop asking hypothetical questions.
Here they are. Oni Plays. I just asked a hypothetical.
And you're getting the
And I'm getting the dog shit beat out of me.
Yeah. I've been listening to Lil Yachty's podcast a lot.
How is it?
Great. It's awesome.
Hell yeah.
It's dope. And it's all pre beef,
mm-hmm.
Kendrick Drake beef. So it's like, there are some like moments of episodes that like feel like the calm before the storm.
Mm-hmm.
Like they have J. Cole on and they're talking and J. Cole's like praising how good like Kendrick's last record was and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's just, it's very funny. In hindsight, I think it's even better.
Yeah.
But
do you hear Schoolboy Q told J. Cole to step out of the beef?
Really?
Yeah. That's the prevailing I don't know how
theory,
much of it
rumor?
Is a, I don't know how much of it is a rumor. It might be confirmed.
Just real?
Yeah.
Schoolboy Q seems like the type of guy to do that. To just and, be like, "Yo man, you're 39."
Well,
dip out.
It wasn't that, it was like Q was like,
you don't want that smoke.
You don't know where this is going. This is going to get so fucked up so fast.
So interesting. No, I really like Lil Yachty, like mm-hmm. as a guy.
He seems super cool.
He's dope. And he just dropped a new song with Fred again.
Mm-hmm. I haven't listened to it.
It's awesome. It's really good.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. This is the first time where I've like done the social media purge and... I start to noticeably be behind on things.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time that's happened.
How is that the first time that's happened?
I guess I still stayed like a little plugged in last time I like got rid of everything. Or maybe I at least like had like Instagram or something like that. Or I don't know. I don't know.
Now it's just nothing?
Now I have nothing, and it's been almost 2 months of nothing.
Damn.
So, yeah. And it's getting weird.
You're like Lenny Kravitz with his 9-year celibacy journey.
Whoa, did he not fuck for 9 years?
He hasn't fucked in 9 years.
Like, presently, as we speak.
Like, as
we,
yeah.
Lenny Kravitz isn't using his nice full penis to... in any way?
Not in any way. He might be zerking his shit. I don't know.
He could be zerking it. Yeah.
I don't know if that's part of it, but he has not had sex in 9 years, he says.
Why?
Says it's a journey or something. I don't know.
Dude, how mad would you be if you were like, all right, I'll do this if it improves my life in some way. And like, I'm setting a goal to do this. Like, you like really, you are Lenny Kravitz is what I'm saying. Like, what if you're Lenny Kravitz on this 9-year celibacy journey and you like die the day before, like you're about to fuck.
It's like, all right, I've done this journey. I feel really good about it.
Yeah.
And, man, it's just really great being in the World Trade Center this day, September 11th, 2001.
Yeah.
It's just so good.
Yeah. Do you want to join the community of fake 9/11 survivors with me?
Because
I did survive it. I just wasn't there.
I also survived it.
I just weren't there.
Yeah. I was not there.
Yeah.
I don't know where I was because I was 1 year old.
Oh, yeah. I was in preschool. I had to be taken out of preschool. I think I've been over this on this podcast. My earliest memory is 9/11.
That's crazy.
Isn't that awesome?
That is kind of tough, actually.
It's kind of hard, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like something that, it seems like Chuck Norris lore.
Yeah.
Like, his earliest memory was...
it was 9/11.
It was 9/11.
One of my earliest, I don't know my earliest memory, because my memory is so fucked, but like...
Yeah.
One of my
after
earliest...
I hit my head on that pipe tonight, I don't know what my memory's going to be like.
That could not be your earliest memory. Maybe like you forgot your earlier one when you hit that.
Like recently, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But one of my earliest memories is tumbling head over heels down the stairs and then popping up like I'm chill.
Yeah, but babies can just like do that.
I remember specifically I was wearing like yellow shorts and I was singing a song about how great having friends was. And then I started walking down
were
the stairs.
Were you Curious George?
No, what I just, hell, I don't know. I just like this, I was just improvising a song about having friends. And then I missed a step and I went tumbling down and I got up. I was like, that was crazy. And my mom was like, because that could have killed me. I could have died there.
I think I forgot to mention on pod because we haven't recorded since your show.
That's true.
Which was an awesome show, everybody.
It was awesome. If you weren't there. Show. You missed out, buddy.
You're gay.
Happy Pride Month.
it is the first day. That's why the Chick-fil-A tasted so different today.
Mm.
I met your father.
Yes.
At the show.
Yeah.
Who's awesome.
He's so cool.
He's so dope. That guy rocks.
Mm-hmm.
He was very sweet. And then I did not really meet your brother, but I assume that's because he didn't want to meet anybody.
He's not really... like in there are certain contexts in which he like blossoms socially.
Sure.
Cause he wants to.
Digimon like, tournament.
No, like in theater. Cause, he's in theater. So when he goes to like, plays
theater
and
camp.
All that, I don't know if they do theater camp anymore. See, he just graduated college.
Cum laude.
I think just cum laude.
Cum laude.
Cum laude.
It's definitely not cum loud.
He either got magna or just cum. I don't think he got summa.
Mm.
But very proud of him. He does not like to talk to people like that in
word
a lot of big social scenarios.
I mean, respect, but like,
yeah,
you know,
he's just like that.
I spend so much time with his brother, you know. We have, it's literally documented hangouts.
Did you tell him like who you were, like that we have the podcast?
No, but your father was very quick to introduce himself, and then I like went to introduce myself to your brother and he was like, so
yeah,
for the listeners, I just made a blank face.
Yeah,
like he was like looking into like the void.
That's the classic Josh blank face.
Your brother's name is Josh?
Yeah.
Joshua.
Oh,
okay. Joshua Beck and
Josh.
Dawson Beck.
Mm-hmm.
What's your dad's name?
Chris.
What's his social security number?
I don't know.
All right, Joshua. Joshua.
He's cool.
Yeah. How was tour?
It was great.
It's awesome.
Very sick facts that, three very sick facts about that tour. One, we made
You're
money.
A sick fact.
Thanks, man. You're a sick fact, too.
Thanks, dude.
One, we made money.
Dope.
Which is not something that most bands at our level can say about a DIY tour.
True, yeah.
Two, we sold merch every single night.
Very dope.
And three, every night of the tour, there was at least one person that came out specifically to see us.
Oh, that is also dope.
Which is so crazy.
Yeah, that's dope.
Yeah, and considering we went as far out as Kalamazoo, Michigan, and there were still people there for us,
yeah,
that was so crazy for that to happen. It's kind of like, it was very validating of a tour because, like, it's when you put something out and then, like, you just have numbers to look at can be very isolating. You can't really get a...
It can also be just, like, plain wrong, too.
That,
like,
too.
Yeah.
Like, we were so scared about the Atlanta show because we were like, what if fucking nobody comes? And then, like, we sold over 100 tickets. And
yeah,
most everyone stuck around for the entire show.
Yeah.
Like, the room was...
Four-band bill,
and yeah, the room was full at the end of the night.
Yeah, no, it's dope.
So that was very rejuvenating.
I think that room of all rooms at the Masquerade, too, is probably the easiest one to feel empty,
mm-hmm,
and it did not feel empty, which is dope.
Because it's like, there's a lot of, like, light reflective material on the walls and on the floor, so it's like, if there's a blank space, you can really tell.
Oh, yeah, you can see it. Yeah. I saw an empty show there. Well, I wasn't attending it. I used the bathroom in that stage when we were playing in, I guess when we were playing in Hell.
Which
When we were playing in Purgatory, it was 68.
Oh, yeah.
I went to the bathroom in Altar. It's when I ran into, bleep the name.
Oh, I know them.
Yeah.
Yeah, Altar is it. I had never been in there before the night of our show.
Oh, word.
So
it's a really nice PA.
It's super good. Yeah, like, it sounds great in there, and like the room is a really decent size. So to sell as much as we did, and like the Masquerade was really happy with us.
Oh, good.
Like they sent a follow-up email that was like really enthusiastic about the show, and
that's
like,
dope.
It's like, we'll keep all of you in mind for future shows and all that. So that was cool.
Boundaries told me that they watched the owner of the Masquerade run his car into a wall twice today.
Damn.
Which is so funny.
That's awesome. How do you do that two times in a single
Don't know. This is really funny, though.
Don't you hate it when you run your car into a wall two times?
I do hate that.
In a single day.
Yeah. It's sort of a brilliant reversal of roles.
Mm-hmm.
You went on tour. I saw a lot of movies.
Oh, yeah. What did you see?
I mean, I guess a lot is not the correct term. I saw Fall Guy.
What'd you think?
I liked it.
I did, too.
The stunts are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Little surprised it underperformed at the box office.
I'm not, because the marketing made it look
pretty bad,
way obnoxious.
Yeah.
If they'd focused more on the stunts, I feel like it would have done better.
Yeah, I think it's like this weird sort of like, they didn't want to market it like it was John Wick. But, I mean, the whole movie is kind of a weird tone.
Yeah.
Which, I liked it. But
it's a good movie. They also took it to streaming like 2 weeks after it came out.
Oh, for real? Furiosa is going to streaming early too.
If they want to make any money on their movies, they gotta fucking remember that word of mouth.
They're not making money on Furiosa at all.
They would have.
Yeah, they would have.
Because like that's the kind of movie where word
maybe
of mouth
if it wasn't
can,
a 3-hour movie. Yeah.
I mean, fucking Greatest Showman flopped initially.
Yeah.
And like that's crazy to think about because The Greatest Showman starring Hugh Jackman and Zendaya and Zac Efron turned out to be like this $800 million movie.
Sure. Yeah.
And that happened because of word of mouth and because it was in theaters for like fucking 5 or 6 months.
Yeah.
And Furiosa is the
throwing
kind of
something on streaming doesn't make your money back unless you have like a crazy distro deal with somebody. Which I don't know if they do, but
I don't think, well, cuz like usually throwing it on streaming coincides with it being taken out of theaters.
Yeah, word.
Because when you put it up on streaming, people don't want to go to the theater because I can just fucking stay home.
Yeah.
So, but I think Furiosa is the kind of movie that they could have kept it in theaters and let word of mouth take foot, and then like it would have just made money.
Have you seen it yet?
Yeah, it was really good.
Oh, you thought so?
Mm-hmm.
I did not love it.
I didn't think it was as good as Fury Road, but like I have been thinking about it more the more distance I've gotten from it, and I kind of want to go back and see it again.
See, that's the thing. I have like, I keep thinking about it, but I have almost zero desire to rewatch it.
Yeah.
Like, and that's pretty rare for me. First of all, too long.
It was very long.
Second of all, dividing it into chapters when all of the chapters are about the same thing, not impressive.
It was, yeah, the chapters.
The whole movie is about her getting home.
Yeah.
Or eventually trying to get home, which we know happens in Fury Road.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, this is the lead up to Fury Road. This is how she got here.
Mm-hmm.
Don't need it to be divided into chapters that mean nothing.
I think the chapters, they kind of helped to break up the pacing a little bit, because it wasn't like just you sitting there marathoning this, like, because I didn't know how long it was when I was going into it.
Neither did Tom and I.
So whenever there was like a new chapter, it was like kind of a reset, and like the pacing like reset, and you got to get more acclimated to the new situation that everyone was in.
Yeah,
I thought that was fine. I didn't expect how much of the movie would be focused on young Furiosa.
Yeah.
I didn't expect Anya Taylor-Joy to not show up for half the movie.
Yeah.
Which I was a little disappointed about.
There's a little digital trickery going on.
A little digital trickery.
Yeah. Some of the little kid stuff is her, technically.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
If you can believe that.
I had no idea.
It was explained to me in a very roundabout in a weird way, so I can't really explain it back to you, but
and I will never know what you mean by that,
so who gives a shit,
so who cares, but, who fucking cares.
Yeah.
What else did you see while I was gone?
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes twice.
Oh.
I loved it. It's really good.
Hell,
it's,
yeah,
it's like obviously not the Caesar trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's great. I really, really loved it.
I'm glad they're making more of those. I'm
glad they're making more, too. I think Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is like one of my favorite movies of all time, maybe.
It's the best one of the Caesar trilogy.
It's an unbelievable movie.
It's Shakespeare.
Yeah.
That's not a new thing to say about that movie, but it really is.
And me and my girlfriend watched War before we went to see Kingdom the other day. Cause she hadn't seen War, and full blown tears watching War.
Yeah, man.
I
just rewatched
that
one.
Really, really gets you, man. Yeah. Like, oh boy.
I just rewatched that one today.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gearing up to see Kingdom. That movie it's unrelenting.
Yeah. It's also, I know people have made this critique for years, but it is improperly named. Should be called Prison Break of the Apes.
Prison for the apes in the planet.
The war doesn't happen. Spoilers, no. Everybody.
It's fucking been out for like 6 years.
There's a crazy Deus Ex Machina.
Just
and I do like it, but
it does go crazy.
Yeah.
But you could call it an internal war for Caesar.
Yo, I like this guy.
There you go.
I like the way this guy thinks.
There you go.
Anyway, today we're talking about the mighty fall. The fall of the Planet of the Apes.
Fall of the Planet of the Apes. Before we get to the snippet, I just wanted to mention one last movie thing.
Oh, please. Anything to get away from talking about this wretched song.
I really don't want to talk about it.
I really don't want to either.
But the other day, the day that I saw Furiosa, because we just got back from tour, I haven't been able to go see any movies. So I did a triple feature.
Word.
Okay. I spent all day at the movies and I watched, I saw the TV Glow, Challengers, and Furiosa in that order.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, starting your day at like 12:15 with I Saw the TV Glow is maybe one of the worst decisions you could ever make
in your life.
I've heard
that it's heavy. Yeah.
It is. It fucked me up so bad. Like,
you really liked it, though.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Like,
I need to go see it.
I think it's a phenomenal movie. And like, but it, dude, it fucked me up so bad. Like, I was, there was a point in the movie where like, well, I'm not going to say what happens, but like there's a point where two characters are talking to each other in a bar and like for some reason what one of the characters was saying was like so cutting and like she's basically looking directly into the camera while she's saying this. So like this was happening and then I just felt like the fastest that tears have ever come to me in a movie theater ever. Like I didn't end up fully crying, but I was like, why am I about to cry right now? It's been, what the fuck happened?
Yeah.
And then like that kind of feeling just like stayed for the whole rest of the movie. And like,
it's like when I vomited during Prometheus. Have sure. I told that story on this podcast?
I think so.
Okay.
It was during the birth.
Oh yeah, yeah. I have told the story. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Continue.
But I saw the TV Glow was like, that movie is about, and I don't feel like this is a spoiler to say, cause it's like,
yeah,
it's basically the only thing that the movie is about. It's about, trans awakening, and like, yeah, being closeted, but, an extension of being closeted and like dysmorphic thoughts and all that is like intense depersonalization and not feeling like you're real. So like, I can only imagine.
That can't be good for 12:15 a.m.
No, dude. PM, it was not. And like there's sequences in that movie that was just like so harrowing and upsetting. It was like I can't recommend it enough, but like just be prepared, dude. Like
is it the kind of thing you see once or are you like excited to rewatch?
I want to see it again, but I don't think I will ever see it with another person.
Word.
I don't think it's something that I can watch with another person.
I have things like that. Yeah.
Cause after the movie ended, I was like I sat through like half the credits. And then I got up and I sat down in like a chair that was outside one of the screens and I just stared for like 30 minutes.
Whoa. Until Challengers was on?
Challengers was like
another palate cleanser.
Yeah, man. Challengers wasn't on for another like hour and a half after that. So I was just fucking sitting there and then I like drunkenly walked over to the Target that was nearby and like bought a can of Pringles.
Nice.
And ate them in my car. And I was like, what the fuck do I do now? And then I was like, I guess I'll go watch Challengers. And then Challengers was also wonderful.
Yeah, it's probably my favorite of the year.
If Dune 2 hadn't come out, Challengers would be probably my favorite of the year. Or TV, honestly.
I think that Dune 2 is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It is like it's like eating a giant cinnamon roll.
And I love cinnamon rolls.
I love cinnamon rolls, brother.
I fucking love big old cinnamon rolls.
Challengers is like, if you gave me like a giant cinnamon roll and also like you didn't tell me that it secretly has 75 grams of protein in it. You know what I mean?
And then also jerks me off while I ate the cinnamon roll.
Yep. Well, maybe it's a protein churro.
Mm.
Just to keep in line with the theme.
That churro scene was
hot, dude.
One of the hottest movies I've maybe
ever
seen. You
want to sit really close and eat a churro and just see what happens?
Just see what happens. You ever want to sit with one of your bros and eat a churro, see what happens?
Dude, listen, I don't want to get horny on pod. I really don't.
It's hard not to.
I was
when
not
talking
familiar
about
with Zendaya's game.
Dude,
I'm sorry.
I wasn't.
I'm very sorry, miss.
Ma'am. I was unfamiliar with your game.
I was unfamiliar with your game.
I was very familiar with her game. ever since I was but a boy watching Shake It Up on Disney Channel. I've been a fan of her ever since. And it's so crazy that she's like such a good actress.
Yeah.
And like it's kind of nuts to look back, and it's like I've been following her career
since
I was like 11.
Yeah.
And now she's like this full-blown movie star in this big-ass movie and the tentpole of the year. And the
so crazy Indie that Darling one of the tentpoles of the year is a Luca Guadagnino movie about tennis.
Yeah. But fucking Mike Faced and Josh O'Connor in that movie too. Like, I didn't know it was possible to have that much homoerotic tension between two people in one movie.
Josh O'Connor is in talks to maybe be James Bond.
That's a great pick.
And I would love that.
He's really, so really hot. Like
it is fucked up
how hot he is.
I find a man like sexually attractive like once every 5 years, I think.
I find a man sexually attractive once every 10 seconds, I would say.
Well, you're gayer than me.
Yeah. Quite a bit.
But like, you know, for me it's like very selective.
Yeah.
Like, there was a guy that used to come into the Starbucks I worked at, who I was like, yeah, I'd kiss that guy. That'd be awesome. And there was a guy in the movie Challengers. I was like, whoa.
It's like, holy fuck.
Yeah, I really liked it. I was also, like, entertained, like, the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
No lulls. It's paced perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Soundtrack's amazing.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I need them to make a vinyl of that damn soundtrack.
Movies are back.
Movies are so back. And I think in case anyone doesn't know, but they're familiar with the wonderful YouTube video Potion Cellar. Same guy.
That guy wrote the movie.
That guy wrote Challengers. And so is married wild. to the screenwriter of Past Lives.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's crazy.
Which is insane. So like shout out.
I guess like just what the message there is like never give up on your weird dreams.
Never give up on your dreams and write the gayest tennis movie of all time.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is like the tone of Potion Cellar doesn't come through Challengers once.
No.
I was very surprised that Luca didn't also write it, but I guess I didn't know off the top of my head if he's written his other movies. I know he co-wrote the Suspiria remake.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of.
I know it's not the case for this one because like I was genuinely shocked when credits rolled on Challengers and it was just the one writing credit.
Yeah. It's just Potion Cellar. Yeah.
One guy.
Yeah.
Which like
his name isn't Potion Cellar, everybody, but I am gonna call him that.
No. It is Justin Kurtzky's.
Yeah.
Shout out Justin. Luca generally it's looking like he did not write Call Me By Your Name. Let's see if he wrote Bones at all.
He didn't even co-write Suspiria. I'm wrong.
No.
Well,
he didn't write Bones and all. It looks like he doesn't usually write his movies. And,
well, then don't write them, Luca.
Just keep doing it because you are
stay
a
stay off that typewriter, brother.
Fantastic director.
He's so good.
The tennis matches in this movie are fucked up with how good they are.
Yeah.
Like I watched an interview with Justin where he said that him and Luca wanted the tennis matches to feel like sex scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Cause there aren't really any like actual sex scenes in the movie. Which I was surprised by.
Yeah, I thought it was gonna be the horniest movie. I mean it is.
I thought I was in for a bone ride.
Can't watch this with my dad.
Still probably couldn't.
Still probably don't want to. But yeah, now that I'm thinking about it.
But I was shocked.
I want to get really horny with my dad.
Not trying to pop a boner next to my dad.
Maybe you're not.
But with that, it's like there's just so much tension throughout this movie because there are no sex scenes. And then the tennis matches happen and it's such a fucking release. Like,
yeah,
they're just so masterfully done. Like, God, that movie's so fucking good, dude.
He also wrote Luca Guadagnino's next movie that's coming out, which is kind of crazy.
Luca asked him to write the next one.
That's crazy. Well, maybe this is a combo that we're going to keep seeing.
I hope
I'm pretty excited about it.
Because what a hell of a combo it was for this movie.
Made a lot of money, too.
Mm-hmm.
No one can stop talking about it.
No.
Can one more thing, and then we'll get into the song.
Mm-hmm.
This is a spoiler, and it'll take 5 seconds to talk about. The part in Challengers where the frame rate intentionally dips.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe going to be thinking about that moment for the rest of my life.
There's like 8 moments in that movie where I'm like, dude, this is next level.
Movies, yeah.
That part, dude, the churro, the banana.
The banana, yeah.
The fucking, the ball.
The undercourt.
The undercourt.
Oh, dude, it's awesome.
The ball POV.
Ball POV is dope.
The fucking, the ball in like the middle of the racket.
Mm-hmm.
Dude.
Awesome movie.
Just a fucking wow.
The part where the frame rate dips, like there's like a bunch of newspaper blowing around. It looks like Escape from New York. Like, I was like, this is insane.
Yeah.
I was so happy. I was like, this is the craziest shit I've ever seen.
I think there's a decent conversation to be had that 2024 might be the best year for movies in a while. And we're only halfway through.
We're not even, yeah.
Challengers, Dune 2, TV, fucking...
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
You laugh, but it's a good movie.
I need to see it. I still need to see it.
And also... I hate to say this because, like, you know, maybe you can't imagine being excited for this. Maybe you are. I don't know. That Deadpool Wolverine movie looks pretty good. I'm pretty excited.
I'm gonna see it. But like the marketing for Deadpool movies has remained consistent, and I have not.
What does that mean?
So in 2016. I thought the marketing for Deadpool and everything about it was the funniest shit I've ever seen in my whole life.
Yeah.
But now it's 2024 and the marketing has not changed for Deadpool. So now I'm watching these trailers and like the silence your cell phone PSA. And I'm like, I'm going to fucking shoot myself in the head.
There's some cringe stuff for sure. But I think overall it's going to be pretty fun.
I hope so. I'm glad that they're keeping the TVA from Loki. I think that's one of the
best MCU thing in genuinely. 10 years. Yeah.
If you're thinking, man, I wish the MCU would do something interesting. Or even if you've had this dumbass thought, man, I wish the MCU had their own Andor. Watch Loki. That's Andor.
Loki season 2.
Both of them.
Maybe belongs in the Criterion collection. Fuck it.
Fuck it. Put it in there. There's some sequences in that season where I'm like, holy shit, this is a Marvel property?
Yeah.
Like, can you believe this? But
when does the Death Stranding movie come out?
They're making a movie?
Yeah, I think it comes out next year.
Next year?
It might come out this year. I don't know.
The second game hasn't even come out yet.
Well, yeah, but you don't need a second game to make a movie.
I guess. That's crazy.
A24 is doing it.
What?
Yeah.
How do I not know about this?
I don't know. Probably because you're stupid.
That's true. You're so right.
You're so right.
That's
maybe it's next year, but I heard something about it dropping soon. So I was like, oh, cool. I'm excited for that.
There's no way. Death Stranding movie. It doesn't even have a director yet.
All right, well, it probably doesn't come out this year then.
I don't think so. It is happening, though, and A24 is producing it. Yeah. That's crazy.
The poster for it kind of goes crazy. This one.
Yeah, that is insane.
That is cool. All right, let's talk about this stupid song.
Okay.
35 minutes in.
Chat, today we're talking about The Mighty Fall featuring Big Sean. And here's a snippet of it. Yeah, I'm a dick girl, a dick. And it's over.
Dude, I hate this song.
I think Fall Out Boy needs to be locked up and tried at The Hague for war crimes.
It's been a couple weeks of feeling this way.
It's,
and I'm not gonna lie, Dawson, I'm getting pretty goddamn tired of it.
I think, because I didn't listen to Fall Out Boy at all on tour, except Jack played Foley one time over the drive from Kalamazoo to Philly. And that was a blessed oasis of a time. Not that he was playing dog shit. He was actually playing really good music for pretty much his whole drive.
Okay.
But then Foley hit, and I was like, I know this one. but it really just made me appreciate even more how good that album is and just how fucking flawless it is. And then I get back. I come back home and I come back and do this podcast and we're talking about this fucking shit ass song. And yeah. It's like, how were they ever good? Like what happened?
Dude, I mean, like, this begs the question of like, here's what I'm going to bring up to you, Dawson.
To me.
Most people in this world are so fucking stupid.
And just things, complete stinkers.
Things get pushed in their face, and they say, yes, please, more, more. I will take more. Let me have more.
More slop from my slop
more,
machine.
More slop from my fucking slop machine. And after hearing this song, and thinking about this song for a couple, I mean, to be honest with you, since we spun for it, I don't see this record anymore as a comeback record. I see it as a trial run.
Mm.
And what I mean by that is, you may not realize it because you hate this album.
That's true.
This album does almost act as sort of a trial run of a bunch of different types of songs. In a way of like, let's see what works. And for the next two records, we will just do that. And what worked was stuff like The Phoenix and stuff like Light 'Em Up. Sports songs.
Mm-hmm.
Big arena songs. And as evidenced afterwards, they pretty much just did that.
Mm-hmm.
This in particular, I guess, is an attempt at like not quite trap music, but music like this did get made after this.
Yeah.
Which I don't really know how to explain that other than like,
it's
music happened.
Music,
you know?
Did happen.
Music happened.
This is the kind of song that this is. I would like calling it rap rock is technically incorrect because that's not what that genre is.
Sure.
But it's in the sense that it's like what a normie who forgot about fucking like Limp Bizkit would think rap rock is, because it's like, oh well, it's rap and rock mixed together.
Yeah.
This song is that.
Yeah. And is bad.
And is so bad.
Yeah.
I don't know how they play this live, if they
ever have.
I don't know how they would, because the guitars sound like a sample. The drums are all clearly sequenced and fake.
I mean, it's like some kind of drum machine thing going on.
I think the
sample in the background and the guitar riff are out of tune with each other too.
Mm-hmm.
For at least the first half of the riff, and then when the riff switches, it's in tune with the sample. But the first half of that riff is not in key.
Yeah.
And if it is, it just sounds bad and dissonant and things are clashing. And I think it's just so that the vocal melody works, mm-hmm. which the vocal melody is so annoying
mm-hmm.
that, I mean, like, listening to this, dude, I know we've had some bad songs on this, but, oh, this might be the worst.
I don't know if this is the worst for me, but it's
I'd rather listen to Bob Dylan than this, because at least Bob Dylan makes me laugh.
That's a tough one. I don't know if I would ever pick to listen to Bob Dylan over anything.
I mean, that song does suck, but
it's so bad. Listen,
would you bury me next to Johnny Cash? I'm obsessed.
I'm obsessed with getting buried next to Johnny Cash.
That song's bad. This is worse.
I would rather listen to this over the one they have with Wyclef.
Oh man. I guess. Yeah.
I think that one is next level.
It's like choosing whether you want to be stabbed or shot. Yeah. Like I don't know.
Like, oh, well, the benefits of getting stabbed as compared to being shot, I haven't been either, so I can't think of any.
Yeah. I think this might be, like, just, like, straight up lowest common denominator. Like, it's 2013, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's a hot rapper? Big Sean.
You know...
What's a popular thing to do? Sample something really annoying. What else is popular? The millennial woe.
Man of Steel.
Man of Steel. Did make a lot of money.
It did make a lot of money.
And they greenlit two sequels to it the week of its release.
Mm-hmm.
And those two sequels ended up being not even Superman movies.
One could argue that they never got made.
I guess so. I have a chemical burn under my arm.
Why did you do that?
Why did I chemical burn myself?
Yeah.
I'm not going to answer that. Fuck what? You.
Okay.
This just seems like... I think I say this a lot about songs from this record. It feels very of its time,
mm-hmm.
but in like the worst possible way.
That's not a unique critique for me on this record, because I think that's true for all of the songs. But
I don't think that's true for
the penis.
The penis. No, it's mostly true for the Phoenix. I can't lie. You know, one of the big reasons they cited like the hiatus was that all pop music had turned into four on the floor dance music. And like the Phoenix is basically just trying to cash in on that.
Mm-hmm.
Death Valley is trying to also cash in on it while also having a dubstep drop. And if Death Valley had been a big song, they probably would have kept doing dubstep drops.
So I got to thank the general public for not fucking with that one.
Yeah, thank you guys. Appreciate that. This one is like borderline experimental.
Yeah.
Not a good way, but like...
What are you chewing on?
You know how I had that nebulizer on my face when you walked in?
Uh-huh.
This is like what the saline solution that I put into it comes in.
Oh.
And this is like the thing that you pull off of it to, yeah.
I think maybe stop chewing on that during the episode.
Sorry. Yeah, my bad.
It's okay.
I think that this song is sort of an attempt at doing something maybe new and maybe somewhat original, but it's sort of just doing all the worst ideas that are new and original. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. I mean,
I give it points for being one of the most different songs I've ever heard. But that's not a good thing.
I can't really point to a lot that sounds like it. So if their goal was originality, they still lose, because the reason I can't point to songs that sound like it is because I've forgotten all of the ones that do.
Yeah. Maybe Dark Horse by Katy Perry.
Definitely Dark Horse by Katy
Perry. Yeah.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
That's not a good song. That's a good terrible comparison.
Song. Yeah. We were friends with a band that would cover that every show.
Why did they do that?
Because it was 2014, man.
Was it a good cover?
No.
Didn't think so. All right.
Shout out Reckless Serenade. I mean, they're very talented. They did it. They did it justice for sure. But I mean, that's already a bad song.
Yeah,
so.
There's only it can only be so good.
Yeah.
You ever see a really bad set and you just get a little sad?
I haven't seen a bad set in a minute. That's not true. I saw a bad set that Chris was mixing.
Damn.
It wasn't bad because Chris was mixing it, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was unrelated, but... I guess we should get into lyrics. Big Sean starts this song out appropriately by saying, "Oh God," which I know is just one of his things, but... Oh God.
I hate how he says Fallout. Boy.
Boy. Well, because boy is like
one of his things. Yeah.
One of his things. I think that's part of the reason that they got Big Sean is because he has that boy.
Boy.
And then so they were that's like, pretty funny. Hey, we're Fallout Boy. And then they got him and he was like, check this out.
Proceeds to spit ass.
Proceeds to, you know, there was a Twitter trend that went around for a minute not too long ago that was what's the worst bar you've ever heard?
Sure.
And I watched a video where Sean C, shout out, went down went through the quote tweets of that tweet and like just reacted to a bunch of them. A lot of the best ones are battle rap fuck ups.
Sure, yeah.
Because those are just the funniest imaginable things.
Yeah. I'm Quagmire. I fuck hose my cash flow. I giggity get it.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Yeah, that's the worst Big Sean. It's hilarious. I just love, but, I'm Quagmire. I fuck hose.
I bring that tweet up because an impressive amount of tweets were Big Sean bars. I think he was the single most represented single rapper out of all of them.
Sure.
Because
his verse on Click is amazing. So like
he's got great verses.
Good bars.
But it just happens that like he just has some fucking stinkers.
He really does.
A lot of them. And he was big enough to where a lot of people who are on Twitter a lot and like will participate in tweet trends like that remember how bad these bars were because they were so big crazy. And so bad.
Is he on that Roscoe Dash song with hold up.
I don't know.
And there's a bed squeak sample.
I don't know.
I forget what the fuck that song is called, but it's so good. I think Big Sean is on that song. Anyway, doesn't matter.
Big Sean.
This verse is so annoying. The call and response.
We'll get to Big Sean's actual verse in a minute.
Oh, but I'm just talking about...
Patrick.
Yeah.
I don't even want to fucking say these, man. It's fucking
I was talking about the call and response of like Malibu and then the gang vocal doing it back at him.
It's
so grating and just annoying.
That first line is did you trip down 12 steps to Malibu and then the call and response
ooh.
The call and response is Malibu, ooh, ooh, ooh.
Yeah. A reference to 12-step recovery programs such as Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, Sex Love Addicts Anonymous, etc. Malibu is a reference to the rehab center Passages Malibu, which advertises itself as a cure for addiction and is openly opposed to the ideals of the 12-step programs of AA, NA, etc.
And you might be thinking, what the hell does that have to do with the song? Well, Big Sean will tie it together. Don't you worry.
And then user from a year ago replies with also Malibu like the drink, like she can't get sober.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
The idea of the line is not bad, but I just hate how it was executed. I feel like I got to sneeze.
Bless you.
Goodness.
Yeah, this verse is like just kind of mean at someone who's an alcoholic, which, like, you know, as Mitch Hedberg said, alcoholism is the only disease you can get mad at somebody for.
I think I would get mad at somebody for getting yellow fever.
How do you get yellow fever?
Mosquito. But it's like mostly eradicated. So like, how did you even do that?
You were trying.
You had to be trying to get yellow
fever. Fuck, dude. Are you for real right now?
You fucking asshole. You got yellow fever? Your eyes are yellow right now. As if you had jaundice, but you have yellow fever.
That's crazy. Pink eye also. I think you can get mad at somebody for pink eye.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Just be smarter about the way you eat booty.
Exactly. You know? Close your eyes.
Close your damn eyes. Tastes the same.
What are you looking at?
Yeah.
Looking at ass? God. What are you, gay?
What are you, gay? You want to see it?
I think the only other disease you can get mad at somebody for is so the next
being
line is
stupid.
The next line is, so why the hell is there a light that's keeping us forever? Bel Air, baby, did you get dressed up? Pretty pout, pout. Then more gang vocals. While you bottomed out, 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 out. Oh.
Yeah.
I can't stop it when there's chemicals keeping us together. I'm singing. You sure are.
You know, this happened last episode. Someone tried to connect the Smiths song "There's a Light That Never Goes Out" to this song, which is like, people on Genius, like, you got like, you're
you guys are wild.
I don't know how to tell you this, but you're like, you can pitch like 35 miles per hour. Everybody else on Genius is throwing 99-mile-per-hour fastballs.
Yeah.
You guys gotta step your game up, because just commenting, this could be a stretch, but this line always reminds me of the Smith song, "There Is a Light That Never Goes Out." The song has a lot of references in it, so it's possible.
Yeah.
In what world?
I guess it's like, also possible.
I really don't want to chastise this person for being fucking stupid, but you can't be throwing 35 miles per hour on Genius.com.
Listen,
you gotta throw a 99-mile-per-hour fastball.
I think you're giving the Genius users in general too much credit. I don't think most people on there are throwing 99-mile-per-hour
fastballs.
Yeah, but
that's so dumb.
Yeah, I think that's just what happens on Genius.
I know. It's late, man. I'm annoyed. Not with you.
I know.
Well, a little bit with you. You did go blind.
I did go blind.
Yeah.
For a little bit.
Bel Air, baby, did you guessed up pretty pout, pout?
I already said
that. I can't stop it when there's chemicals keeping us together. Self-explanatory.
Yeah.
I do want to know what this whole chorus, because the chorus is just how the mighty fall in love. You can reduce it to just that. He says it a lot of times.
He does. In a very annoying melody, too. What is he talking about? Are alcoholics mighty?
I really don't know how this connects to anything in this song.
I would say alcoholics are mighty in their desire to drink more alcohol.
Unless this is about a specific person. In which case, that's probably fine. I could see the lyrics of this making sense if it's about one specific person.
And knowing Peter Wentz, it probably is.
Probably.
But the thing with this era of Fall Out Boy writing is that it's so non-specific that it can be hard to tell when Pete is writing about somebody or he's just writing about like a feeling.
Sure.
Or just like a general...
Or a tweet.
Or a tweet.
What if a tweet was a song?
What if a tweet was a song? He doesn't sound like that.
No, he doesn't sound like...
Not at all.
Like Stitch at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the annotation on this is, how the mighty fall is an idiom used when someone or something that previously seemed to be invincible is suddenly defeated. Fall Out Boy takes that saying and plays on the word fall. Some people believe that love is what will ultimately destroy us all. Therefore, when the mighty fall in love, they also fall.
I know. Thank you so much for that insightful and intellectual read on this chorus.
Yeah.
Thank you.
When we get to the second verse, that's when I start to realize that there isn't a single lyric in this song that I like. And normally, there's at least one.
Yeah.
Normally, there is at least one. Even in the stuff we really hate, there's at least like one line where I'm like, okay.
Oh, no.
Cool.
Not today.
Bazinga. I did want to pull up the annotation on... But if you ask me, two's a whole lot lonelier than one. Patrick is alluding to One is the Loneliest Number by Three Dog Night. He might be dissing coupledom relationships get lonely. Oh, coupledom relationships get lonely. Or he might be championing loneliness. He established the idea of happiness in loneliness. / loneliness in groups earlier on the album with Alone Together. Not a connection.
Could be a stretch. Connection. Could be. It's more plausible than connecting it to that one Smith song. Was it a Smith song?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is more plausible.
I couldn't remember.
And it's pretty funny if you click on the highlighted link for Alone Together, because it takes you to a different song called Alone Together.
Oh.
And not the Fall Out Boy song Alone
Who's
Together.
Who's that one by?
Somebody named Daly, who is signed to Good Music. So,
oh.
I don't know who that is, but...
Me neither.
Oh, wait, no. Features somebody.
Hmm.
From Good Music.
Feature.
I
hardly know her. This,
Baby, we should have left our love in the gutter where we found it.
I should have
someone
left
fully
you
explains
on the
what a gutter is.
I found you. But you didn't. Sorry, I had to get that out of my system.
Awesome.
Thanks.
No, I liked that.
Thanks, man. Let me just say the first line in this verse. Your crooked love is just a pyramid scheme, and I'm dizzy on dreams. Brother, I don't like that.
If that was in a Carly Rae Jepsen song, you'd love it.
Nope. Maybe.
Yeah, you thought about it for a second. Yeah, I don't completely hate that line, but I can't say that I like it.
I think it's... It's also the fact that it's accompanied by another call and response meme, which just makes it a lot worse. Also, Patrick on this song is just not as charming as Carly Rae Jepsen would have been.
No, he's not charming. He's not as charming on this song.
Mm-mm. Not on this one.
It's amazing that someone who normally has so much swag can make such a swagless song.
Mm-hmm. And have such a swagless delivery.
Yeah.
And if there's one thing that Carly has, it's swagful delivery.
Swagful delivery, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, it's like track two on Emotion, right? Swagful delivery.
Yeah.
We got to get into it, man. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We got to talk about it.
Okay, well, there's a bridge before it.
Yeah, it's but there's getting no annotation.
It's getting clear you're never coming clean, so lock you up inside and swallow.
You can't postpone this.
Vor. Patrick Stump Vor song. That's what it... All right, we'll talk about it.
Verse 3, Big Sean and Patrick Stump, which is pretty funny. Hello. Yeah, I know you said not to call unless I'm dying. Well, I'm driving and I can't stop staring at my eyelids, but even though my eyes closed, I still see you. I just hope that when you see me, I'm not see-through. You know how we do.
God, I wish there was alcohol Big Sean, in this water bottle.
Big Sean begins his verse asleep at the wheel.
Yeah. Which is
I do respect. That is pretty relatable.
Yeah.
I fall asleep at the wheel all the time.
Dude, it's one of my favorite activities.
I love it. And when someone tries to shake me awake, I go,
shh. I'm going to sleep.
I'm sleeping. It's time to swerve.
I like doing it at 90 on the freeway.
Oh, okay.
Big Sean. He's so charming.
Yeah, most of the time when a rapper does some stupid feature like this, it's like pretty low effort. I think of Wiz Khalifa's verse on Payphone,
mm-hmm.
where he begins it by going, yo, fuck that shit, which is awesome.
Which is a really funny way to start off his verse on a Maroon 5 song.
Hilarious. And I think it's awesome that the way this verse begins is like he's kind of doing like a weird timing thing.
Mm-hmm.
He
starts out this verse, it should be noted, inaudible.
Basically, yeah. You don't really know that it's coming, but you're like, oh, that guy that's been talking for the last 10 seconds, oh, he's rapping now. Okay.
This is a verse. This is not a sample. Okay.
But to give him his credit, he says all of this full energy with a lot of confidence. The words are not good.
Yeah.
But he says it very confidently.
This is the Big Sean dilemma because he sounds the same as he did on any song that he put out at this time. But the thing with Big Sean is that this is not a verse quality that is entirely different from other shit he was doing.
Sure.
Like this verse could could have fit in anywhere else in his discography at this point.
And he tricks you because he sounds the same and you're like, oh, this is the guy from Click.
Yes.
And I like that song.
This is the guy from Ass.
This is the guy from A dollar sign dollar sign.
My mistake. That's what the song is called.
Which is also maybe not a good song, but.
No. No, it's not.
I do
it is
want
funny,
to listen
though.
To it now that we've mentioned it.
It is very funny.
That song's hilarious.
Make that motherfucker hammer time. He's got some all-timer bars and not in the good way.
No. But he's delivering these so confidently.
He's just so confident on that damn microphone.
Yeah.
It's hard also, to get swept up.
His verse on All Me by Drake. Oh my God, that verse is amazing.
That's the Big Sean
dilemma.
My
new girl is on Glee and shit. Probably making more money than me and shit.
I'm telling you, he sounds the same on that verse than... As he does on this one.
I know, which is...
That's the dilemma.
Yeah, he tricks you. He tricks you.
He tricked me.
The annotation on, well, I'm driving and I can't stop staring at my eyelids, but even though my eyes close, I still see you. Thoughts of this person will not leave his head, even when he's in the middle of something as simple as driving.
Driving is not simple, especially when you're sleeping and driving at the same time.
It's really hard. It's two things at once.
It's so difficult.
Well, one thing, really. Yeah. One thing at once.
It's so difficult to swerve as effectively as I do into other lanes and oncoming traffic.
Yeah. I mean...
This is where it starts falling apart. Really falling apart.
Yeah, it starts really, really...
Because he starts his verse with that, and then he goes, I just hope that when you see me, I'm not see-through. You know how we do. And here I'm thinking, and then he keeps going, and he goes, sometimes I swear I need a day just for me to lay with some TNA, but the way we do is deeper, baby, straight up chemistry, DNA, which DNA is not a chemical, as far as I know.
Yeah.
I feel like, is it a chemical? Hold on. I need a, it's something. Deoxyribonucleic acid. Is DNA.
I had it. You just started saying it before I could finish it.
No. Whoa. Chemical building blocks called nucleotides. Okay. It's not.
It's just something you study in chemistry. I don't think it's. Isn't that biology? The fuck is happening? It's not quite she blow my dick like a cello.
No.
But.
It's not completely wrong, but it's like the kind of thing where you hear it and it's like, it. What is that? Is that right? It's
TNA,
corny.
TNA has a dual meaning. It references TNA, meaning tits and ass. This corresponds with the previous line as it implies he needs a day just to simply watch pornography.
I don't think he's talking about
porn. Oh, the misery. I just want to jack off to pornography.
I can't do that full volume because you got other people in this house.
Asleep, dude.
Sleeping. Not for long when I start misery jacking off the pornography.
I just want to jack off to pornography.
I just want to jack off to pornography.
God damn. That's a good bit.
I think Big Sean is talking about real TNA, not TNA on your computer screen, you goddamn gooner.
There's no comments on this annotation.
It must be right then.
It must be just completely right.
No notes.
Two, TNA refers to the nucleic sequence of DNA, which adenine pairs with thymine.
That is true.
Maybe Big Sean's smart as fuck, man.
Maybe he's cooking.
DNA is also known to affect one's choices. Ergo, when it states that the way they do is deeper, he's implying that the choice is made in the coding of the DNA. Yeah. Cool. That's stupid.
Thank you, Big Sean. But he keeps going.
Make me want to give you every dollar of my... B of A refers to Bank of America.
My big
Bofa.
O-ass. makes me want to give you every dollar out of my big ol' ass.
So we know, I mean, he's already given us some of his banking information.
Mm-hmm. He banks with Bank of America.
Yeah, maybe he could reveal more to us in the next following lines. So
I'm going to keep listening.
Yeah, let's go into it. He says, I'm either fucking or working so the grind don't stop.
No. Before that, he says, like, I let her climb on top.
Yeah.
You have to include that.
Of course. Yeah.
It's very essential.
So he is distracted and we could hack into his bank account.
He is fucking and sleeping and driving at
the
same time.
He doesn't say anything about checking his account balance.
Fuck.
So.
Okay. Maybe he'll... Well, first of all, I'm either fucking or working, so the grind don't stop is, dude.
Yeah.
You got that from
genius
a tweet.
Annotation.
You got that from a tweet. I know you did.
Sean is always either grinding to make his money or he's grinding in the R. Kelly bump and grind sense of the word. Plus, fucking the game is a rap trope, so there's a little triple entendre. No, there isn't.
Nope.
I got screws missing refers to both Sean's divergent ways of thinking and the colloquial term screw used to describe having sex. And then there's a gif of two Power Rangers grinding on each other below this. So
are they implying that Big Sean is autistic?
That's awesome.
That rocks.
That is dope. Maybe he is.
I don't know.
Which means he's never given us that PIN number.
Fuck.
And he changes it every hour.
God damn it.
And we end this with, they say I got screws missing. Well, hell, only when I'm missing you. And hell yeah, I'm a dick girl addicted to you.
First of all, He's saying he's a dick girl. Second of all,
that's awesome.
Simple Plan already did that one, and it wasn't good when they did it, and it's not good when Big Sean does it. When I heard that line tonight when I was driving over, and he ended his verse with that, I screamed at the top of my lungs. Because I was so fucking frustrated with what I had just heard.
Yeah. Yeah, this one's rough, man.
It's Sean.
Sean, why?
Why did you do that?
Why did you do this to us?
This is the kind of verse that you hear and you go, yeah, that's why so many people were, quote, tweeting that one tweet with exclusively Big Sean bars.
Yeah. He does kind of deserve it, but also, like, I don't feel bad because he seems to be doing fine.
He's doing just fine.
Is he married to Jhené Aiko?
Maybe.
Is he laying up with her TNA? I'm just wondering.
It's a valid question.
Because I know he dated Ariana Grande.
He did do that. I don't think they're married, but it seems like they're still together.
Good for them.
Good for them. Shout out Everlasting Love.
Yeah, they seem very happy. He's with a beautiful lady.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't need us to like him.
No,
I don't think. But
I don't even dislike Big Sean.
No, I don't really
general.
Dislike him at all.
He's just like
Guap. Guap's a good song.
Mm-hmm.
This is for all my hating hoes who see me in Guap right now. Hell yeah.
He has good songs, and he has good bars, but he also has some of the most confusingly terrible shit you've ever heard in your whole life. And that's the duality of Big Sean.
Oh, I Don't Fuck With You? That's a great song.
That's a great song.
That song's awesome.
Mm-hmm. That's a banger. And it's the same
Blessings,
guy.
Blessings, pretty good song.
Who says in this song, they say I got screws missing. Well, hell, only when I'm missing you.
His verse on Mercy is pretty good.
He does have a really bad bar in that one, though.
Which one?
I'm trying to remember. I need to get the exact bar.
Well, hang on. Drop it to the floor. Make that ass shake. Make the ground move. That's an ass quake.
Build a house upon that ass. That's an ass state.
Roll my weed on it. That's an ashtray. Say yay. Don't we do this every day? Work them long nights. Long nights to get a payday. Finally got paid. Now I need shade and a vacay. And still hate. So much hate. I need an AK.
All right.
White girl politic. And this is Sarah Palin. California kid. I give her that D. Because that's what born and raised. Did I get every word of that verse?
Yes, you did.
Holy shit. No, that verse is great. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but the ass state bar.
Good bar.
I don't know.
Good bar. Come on.
I don't know how much I could co-sign that bar. It's funny.
That song is like abstract.
That song is really good.
This song's amazing.
Yeah. It's a great song.
It's like the whole song, you're waiting for Kanye to come in.
And then the first verse you get is build a house upon that ass. That's an ass state.
Well, you get.
What does he mean by that?
You get.
How do you build a house upon that ass?
It's that big. That's what he's saying. It's a big ass.
So he's building the ass to be larger?
No, he's building a house upon that ass because it's big enough to be unaffected by a by the housing market it presents on its land.
Right, but the ass itself is not the the punchline there. That the house that he
that's
builds
an
on
ass state.
That's an ass state. He's calling the house the ass state. The ass
yeah,
is secondary.
It's a house upon dad ass.
That's an ass state. But he's listen, roll my weed
on
it.
We gotta kill this guy. Look how much discord he's sowing between us.
Listen, all I'm saying is roll my weed on that ass. That's an ashtray. Makes more sense because an ashtray.
I think ashtray is worse than ass state.
Well, you can actually roll weed on an ass if you wanted to. You can't build a house upon that ass.
Dawson very embarrassingly revealing that he has almost no experience with big asses.
What are you talking about? I'm walking around with one all the time.
That's true. You are stacked as fuck, man.
I got
there, brother.
The wagon, brother. This is like telling Stephen Hawking he doesn't know what he's talking about with universes.
Oh, I thought you were going somewhere very different with that.
Oh, with small children on Epstein's Island is what
yeah,
you
sure.
were thinking
yeah,
I was
yeah, with
say.
Whips and chains that he gets hit with on his
yes.
small little body. On his dead body.
This is like telling Elon Musk.
This is like
knows
telling Stephen Hawking he
cars.
Doesn't know anything about fuck a corpse palooza.
This is like telling Bill Clinton he doesn't know what he's talking about cheating on his wife and also being a pedophile.
It's similar to that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when your ass walks by, I don't know if you know this, but just like as you're walking past, you probably can't hear it because it's behind you, but directly behind your ass is going, dig through the ditches and burn through the witches. Slam in the back of a big asshole.
You know, I have not heard that.
Yeah.
Because it is behind me, so yeah. I can't hear it.
Suck on a penis and fuck my little ass.
It is crazy that I've never heard that, but I guess you are right. Anything yeah. that's behind me, I can't hear.
Yeah, that's famous. Famously, that's behind you can't hear.
If I turn around, like if I turned around right now, I wouldn't be able to hear yeah. you.
So you want to rate Mercy real quick?
Mercy, I think I'm going to give like a...
I'm giving Mercy by Kanye West a 9.
I think I will too.
Mostly because at one point, oh man, what's Pusha T's? How did Pusha T's verse start? Cause
P, no,
no, cause 2 Chainz verse begins up with "You can't catch up to my campaign."
2 Chainz verse on that song is insane.
It's awesome. Well, I bring up 2 Chainz's verse on that song because he says he's drunk and high at the same time, drinking champagne on the airplane. And then his ad lib goes, damn.
Push's verse starts out, yeah, it's prime time, my top back, this pimp game.
Ho. I'm red letter, this cocaine, I'm Rick James.
Ho.
Yeah, that song's awesome. I'm giving Mercy a 10, actually. Fucking 9.
Yeah, you know
oh,
what?
Oh, we
I
have
agree.
To rate the Fall Out Boy song, too.
I did give Mercy a 9. So I guess I'll give what's this song called again?
The Mighty Fall.
I guess I'll give The Mighty Fall a 1.
I'm gonna give The Mighty Fall a 5. Just kidding, it's a 0.
Okay. The look I just gave you and the burps I just made.
I'm not gonna lie, this has new dead last slot.
I wouldn't call it dead last for me, but it is down there. It is definitely down
there. I can't
there.
Think of something that is worse.
The Wyclef one, man.
You'd rather listen to this than the Wyclef one?
I would.
What about both of them at the same time?
I would shoot myself in the head as fast as I
what
can.
What about Wyclef's song in the left ear and this one in the right ear?
What is this, like binaural training to make me a CIA assassin?
All you should create that and put it at the end of the episode.
Oh my god.
I don't think it would get copyright flagged. I think it would just be this weird experiment.
Maybe I will do that. Maybe I will.
Or I'll post it on Patreon, and everyone just has to be honest about how long they made it through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Join our Patreon to auditorily torture yourself.
Roll out that carpet.
I will. Thank you so much for listening.
It's bedtime.
If you're still listening. It is bedtime.
It's 3 a.m, everybody. It's don't say we don't love you.
Yeah. Carson.
What?
Carson just fucking ripped ass in here.
Yeah. It's bedtime. And I rip ass at bedtime.
I fart so much at bedtime.
Dude. If there's one thing I know, it's that bedtime's for ripping ass.
Bedtime is for farting so big and so loud.
Has anyone ever lectured you about your iPhone's battery memory?
No.
An unnamed member of the Callous Dowboys did that to me. And all I'm going to say is I plug my phone into a USB-C every day and never plug it in again. And it's just now starting. It just now hit 10%.
Damn.
Yeah, so maybe no more lectures about battery memory person in my band.
Can I guess who it was?
Sure.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, follow Carson and I's bands.
Cut that out, please.
Okay, I will. At the Callous Dowboys on Instagram, at Callous Dowboys on Twitter. Follow my band at Bummer Hill on Instagram, at Bummer Hill ATL on Twitter. Just follow the podcast at The Dreaded Wheel on Twitter. Subscribe to our Patreon. We'll post another episode of that soon, but not tonight because it's 3 a.m.
It's 3 a.m.
It's a fucked up world we live in. I think that's the whole carpet.
What?
I think I rolled out the carpet. I think I did.
Okay, word.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to spin the wheel.
All right. Spin that wheel.
Dawson, why? Why can't we just get a good song?
We got Ghostbusters.
We got the Ghostbusters theme that they made for girl Ghostbusters.
That they made for...
It wasn't even made for boy Ghostbusters.
Oh.
All right, everybody.
Okay.
Thanks for listening.
Good night, everyone.